All right. Hey, well, today we're continuing in our series on the parables of Jesus. We've been walking through different parables that Jesus taught through the summer. And today, as you heard when you came in, we're kind of in a more worship music focused day. But I wanted to share just two kind of shorter devotions about two of the parables that Jesus talked about. And the first one we're going to look at is the parable of the wise builder and the foolish builder. Or you could say the parable of the one who built on a rock and the one who built on sand. And let me give you some context. Is before Jesus shares this, one of the things that Jesus, he has just finished the greatest sermon of all time, right? Nobody in our generation has preached the greatest sermon of all time. The greatest sermon of all time was Jesus when he preached the Sermon on the Mount, right? And he taught all these lessons about life and faith and the kingdom of God. And he just finished talking about, he just finished saying, there's a couple, Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel. Luke's gospel, the Sermon on the Mount, is like one chapter. Matthew's gospel is three chapters. And at the end of it, Luke's gospel, Jesus has just said, "Hey, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then not do what I say?" It's like, because what it means to be, to follow Jesus as Lord means that he's like the king, he's the master, he's the leader, right? And so he says, why do we do that sometimes, where you call me Lord, but you don't do what I say? And then in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew 7, Jesus had just said something very similar. It records a similar thing. He, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven." And that's like, man, that's a tough word, right? This sermon was deep, and it was cutting, pierced to the heart, but it was filled with grace. And he says, "But not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my heavenly Father." So he just finished saying that. And so Jesus is basically telling them, look, don't just hear what I said and applaud them as nice words, right? He's basically saying, don't let it, you know, capture your attention with just some really good moral theology. Jesus is saying, look, if you want to know what it means to follow me, take these words. If you want it to impact your life, take these words and put them into practice in your life. If you're a parent, you understand this. We were getting ready for the beach. We were packing and stuff like that. And my two older kids, we're telling them, go get this and take it here. And I felt like we would say it, and every single time we said it, it was like they would do the opposite thing. It was like, look, you want to go to the beach, right? And so, but it was like they weren't willing to put what we were telling them to do into practice. And finally I said, like, guys, if you will just listen, if you will just do what we say, man, it's going to go so much better for you. So I can relate to Jesus here. And so Jesus tells this parable of two types of builders. Here's what it is. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine," that's Jesus saying, "and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock." Pay attention to that, the foundation on the rock. It says, "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand." It says, "The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." And so, this is funny. When I was reading this and preparing this week for this, I couldn't help but think of maybe one of the greatest books of all time, the story of the three little pigs. You know that story? The story of the three little pigs. You know that one. You know, there's three little pigs, of course, and then there's the big bad wolf, right? And the first little pig builds his house out of straw. The second one builds his house out of sticks. And the third one builds his house out of brick. And, you know, the big bad wolf comes and he huffs and he puffs and he blows down the house of the first two, the one with straw and the one with sticks, because it wasn't strong enough. But he came and he tried to blow down the house of the one who built the house with brick. And, of course, he couldn't do anything. It stood. And I was thinking, this is really essentially what Jesus is telling us, except the difference is the houses in Jesus' illustration look almost identical. They look almost identical. I would imagine they had the same kind of appliances. They had nice hardwood floors and, you know, good decorations, right? But basically, the difference is one of them built on a good foundation and one of them built on a shaky foundation. The only difference was the foundations. One built on the sand, the other one built with a foundation on the rock. And I was thinking, what does this mean for us today? I think a lot of times you see a lot of people running around everywhere trying to build something into their lives. We're trying to build something into our lives, and a lot of people are building their life on the wrong kind of foundation. A lot of us are building our life on the wrong foundation. And you see in culture today, right, that a lot of people are building, we're building our foundation on our career, you know? Like, if we can just get this right, if we can be successful in our career, then everything else will stand. A lot of times we're building our foundation, we're trying to build on the foundation of our kids' success, getting them into college someday, or making sure that our kids are happy. And if they're happy, then we're happy and everything's good, right? Or a lot of times we're building our life on our bank account. And man, I hope that you're doing a good job with your bank account, right? I mean, that's part of what it means to be a good steward. But it's one of those things where a lot of times we build on so many shaky foundations. Like, sometimes we're trying to shape what people think about us, people's perception. I don't know what foundation you're building on today, but what I want you to know is that when we build our lives on those kind of things, that when the storms come, when the rain comes, when the floods come, and they're going to come, you know, life happens, stuff happens. When you build your life on a shaky foundation, on the wrong foundation, Jesus is saying it's going to crumble. It's going to crumble when you need it most. And you find in those moments that when all of a sudden everything is breaking loose around you, that your possessions don't matter anymore. You find that your prestige doesn't matter. Your position in the company, your position in life doesn't matter anymore. The only thing that matters is Christ, right? And so Jesus is saying, look, the wise person is the one who focuses on building on the right foundation. Here's the bottom line for this parable. Bottom line is this, is that if you build your life on Jesus, your life will stand. If you build your life on Jesus, it'll stand. Hey, glad to have the students back. Can we give them a hand? Welcome back from Teens Love Christ Camp. Sorry to call you out, guys. I know that's what you really wanted in the middle of that. But man, these kids this week were investing in building their life on the right kind of foundation, on Jesus. And God has been at work in their life. And, you know, it's one of those things where if you build your life on Jesus, what does it mean? That means that basically you're trying to follow Jesus. That you're not only hearing God's word, right, but you're trying to put God's word into practice. It'll stand, even when everything else is crumbling around you. In fact, there's a great hymn that really talks about this principle, and it goes like this. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Here's the encouragement for you. What are you building your life on? Don't build on all these other things that are sinking sand. Build your life on Christ. Focus on, and in order to hear God's word, we got to get in God's word. We got to know God's word, right? And then put it into practice. Let's focus on building our life, on following Christ, on building on a foundation of Him. Let's pray as we continue this time. God, as we go into this next moment of worship, my prayer is that we would be able to refocus our life, and we would be able to think about, God, what are we building our life on? We would think about what foundations, what things are we pursuing in our life, and how might we build our life even in an even greater way on the foundation of You. God, help us to not only hear what You want us to do, but help us to put it into practice so that You can transform our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, the second parable we're going to look at today is the parable of the ambitious guest. And maybe you've been to a party before, where a work party where everybody's trying to get in close with the boss. You ever been to one of those? Where everybody's trying to, like, you know, get into a better position. Hey, make sure you go talk to the boss because I got a promotion on the way. You know, this is kind of what's happening. Everybody is kind of jockeying for position. And Jesus tells this parable in Luke chapter 14. And here's what he says, Luke chapter 14, starting with verse 7. He says, when Jesus noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. He said this, when someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. He says, if so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, this is bad, give this person your seat, right? Then humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. He says, but when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. And here's the punchline. He says, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Everybody wants to sit in the best seat in the house. You know, everybody wants to be in the most important place. But Jesus, what he's really talking about is not a dinner arrangement. He's talking about the idea of humility. Being a person of humility in our relationships with others, but also being a person of humility as we come before God. Have you ever seen somebody who's just completely arrogant? It's funny because instead of that, people who think that they're so impressive, instead of impressing people, it actually repels people, you know? And so it holds us back in our relationships. But Jesus is also saying, look, the real host who invites us is God. And when we come to God with this arrogance, saying, God, I don't need you. Like, I don't need you in my life. I've got things together. I don't need you. I mean, it's kind of like what we're doing is our heart is like a brick wall that God can't, it's hard to penetrate. It's hard to penetrate and work through. And so here's the thing. Jesus says, look, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And I heard a story one time of a young preacher who was going up to preach, and he was so confident in his message. He thought he was going to be so good. I'm going to school these guys on what it means to follow Jesus. And he walks up there really confidently, and he preaches the sermon, and it bombs, right? Maybe you've trusted God in some kind of way, and you're trying to be used by God, and it just bombs. And he walks off with his head down. And there was this older gentleman that grabbed him, and he said, son, let me tell you, the message that you shared was really good. He said, but I bet you that the next time you get up, the next time you want to be used by God, I bet if you walk up in a spirit of humility with your head down and you trust God to work in you, that you're going to walk back off the stage or walk back out of God using you with your head up. And this is that principle, right? For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And John the Baptist understood this better than anybody. His whole ministry, everybody was trying to say, you're the one. We've been waiting on you. You be our leader. And he said, no. After me is coming somebody, Jesus, we know it's Jesus, who I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. Like, he's so much better than me. And then in John chapter 3, he ended up saying, basically, Jesus must increase and I must decrease. In order for God to do something big and do something in me, like, I've got to become less and he's got to become greater. And we're still telling his story today. And I think that kind of humility is what Jesus wants from us. And so here's the bottom line for this parable. It's instead of making much of ourselves, instead of making much of yourself, humble yourself and make much of God. Instead of making much of yourself, humble yourself and make much of God. And I think Jesus modeled this better than anybody. In Philippians chapter 2, here's what it says. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. I want you to notice the V pattern. It's not an upside down V. That's the pattern of Adam. But it's this V pattern. Here's what it says. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, by the very nature God, being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he humbled himself to nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's the bottom of the V, right? He's the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he humbles himself. Here's what happens. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is the pathway that leads to life. If you exalt yourself, you'll be humbled. But those who humble themselves before God, those who come to God with a spirit of saying, God, I just need you, God has a way of exalting you and using you in a big way.